and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome you all to episode 29, where today I will be continuing the conversation about special interests. Now, as previously mentioned on this podcast, special interests play a huge pivotal role in autism, as special interests provide joy and comfort to an autistic individual and can often lead to a path of learning and even self-discovery. Now, my next guest's special interest has led her to be a household name in the world of the MBTA and trains, whose life this past year has been shown to the world thanks to her time on Netflix's Emmy Award-winning docuseries Love on the Spectrum. She's here to talk about her special interests, her time on the show, and give us some life updates on what she's been up to since the show aired. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Parry Kim. Parry, welcome!
Thank you so much for having me, Devin. It's an honor to be on.
Well, listen, it is an honor for me to even have you on, from one Love on the Spectrum supporting cast member to another actual cast member. It is always a pleasure. Your life has literally blown up within the past few months. Everything has kind of changed and you have been booked and busy. But I just want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on and share with us your life story, talk about your special interests, which I'm really excited to talk about because I hear that you're the queen of that, and obviously talk about your time on Love on the Spectrum. So if you're ready, Parry, we can just hop right into it.
Yep, let's do it.
So usually, Parry, when I bring an autistic guest onto this podcast, I kind of like to start at the very beginning of one's life. So my first question for you, Parry, is when were you first diagnosed autistic? When did you find out that you were autistic? And what was your reaction to all of it?
So I was first diagnosed with autism at 3 years old, so I was little. And funny story, like, not everyone knows, but a long time ago when I was younger, like, I used to be ashamed of my autism, and I always felt like an outsider, the odd one out, and wished I was like everyone else, quote unquote. So I always felt like I would never be like all the other kids, and I literally asked my parents like when it would go away, and they're like, never. But then growing up, I realized it's just a part of me, and it's not bad. It's just a different way of being and thinking and living, and I've learned to embrace it. So now I celebrate it, and I'm not going to change who I am. It makes me me, and there's a lot of great things that come from it. So that's why now I'm unapologetically autistic, because I'm not going to hide it. Who I am, I'm going to embrace it and own it.
As you should, as you should. It's interesting that you mention about how for the longest time you were ashamed to even talk about it. I think we kind of both come from similar perspectives just because of the whole thing about masking. I can understand where you're coming from in terms of maybe wondering, you know, why you might be the only one to be autistic. Because in a way, we have been educated and we have been unintentionally trained for so long to mask within society in order just to be taken seriously. And that's sort of where this whole masking thing comes into play, and how we're sort of breaking that stigmatization of masking. Just because the sad reality is we have to mask in order just to be even taken seriously. Like, people do not fully understand, let alone recognize, of just how we have to blend in order to be taken seriously. So the fact that you've been able to really harness your special talents and your disability and say, you know what, this is who I am. I'm not going to apologize about it. And I'm just going to be me. We really do come from similar backgrounds with that, just because for the longest time, people didn't think that I was autistic until maybe about 12 years ago. So it's interesting how we're able to bond over that, also with the fact that we were both diagnosed super early on when we were toddlers. So I have to also ask, what was your childhood like growing up on the autism spectrum for you? Because I know that you went through a lot.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. Well, I always felt like different because there are some other kids in special ed, but I know, like, I used to be in it and had an IEP and had to be taken out of class to do like PT, speech, OT, and got different things than like the neurotypical kids.
Yes.
So I remember, though I think this applied to all students, but they're in fourth grade. They had this like behavioral discipline system with different cards and clips. Like basically, green was you're behaving, yellow is a
Yes.
warning, orange is a second one, and then red's principal. Luckily, I never got to red, but I remember getting like a yellow card literally just for silly things like singing too loudly or talking out loud or saying hi. It's like it's just the most ridiculous thing. Like I know it's
Yeah.
not a yay, but it's like I just feel like they were basically like punishing us for just being who we are if we did anything that wasn't like considered normal.
Yeah, I mean, why would you send us to the principal's office if we're just singing a little bit too loud? Like, what's the point in that?
Yeah, it's like I feel like they basically want us to become like neurotypical. It feels like in some ways it's like
Yeah.
neurotypical like therapy or conversion camp. It's like it shouldn't be that way. Like we shouldn't be punished for who we are. Like
Yes,
I know that they
absolutely.
do awards too, but it's the punishing factor that's very problematic. Because basically telling us to be ashamed or there's something wrong with us and like what we're just doing naturally or stimming should be like no, it should be like not happening.
The way that society has worked for the longest time is that throughout the late 90s and the early 2000s, autism wasn't really discussed as much. It was given that formal name back in the early 90s, but autistic voices weren't really being amplified until maybe, I want to say 2012, 2013 at least, when more autistic individuals were coming out with their own stories growing up saying, hey, I did this therapy, I did that therapy, I did X, Y, and Z type of therapies, which is great. But something that you also mentioned is about the whole green card, yellow card, red card system, which I do remember. I kind of got a little bit close to a few red cards back in my day for reasons I'm not going to say here. But it's interesting how the times now have begun to change, which is good. But in a way, it needs to happen more because what we're seeing is a pivot from trying to be normalized as just blending in when we're seeing more of a change in, hey, it is okay to be different. It is okay to have social flaws. It is okay to maybe not have the best eye contact. It's totally okay to maybe be a little bit socially awkward in public because what that shows is we are human. It shows that we are human. And that is what is so really, really, really important, if you ask me. So, one thing about this podcast and what I have done in previous episodes is that I like to always bring on people that have special interests. Now, you are a massive, and I mean massive, fan of trains and the public transportation system, or as you like to call it, the T. Literally, not like the drinky tea, but the T. What got you first interested in the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority system?
Yep, so it is called the T. That's like the nickname or MBTA, but most people call it T for short. It's been known as that since it opened, and the logo's literally a black T in a circle with white on the inside. So it got me into it. So, well, before the T specifically, it goes back to like more trains in general. When I was little, well, it was a lot before it grew into what it was now, but ever since I was little, I know I've always been fascinated when I watched Thomas the Tank Engine and Polar Express. And I know sometimes during trips, like a few
Yes.
times as a child, yeah, I went on subways, I think the T a few times in the New York City subway. But back then, I got them mixed up. I didn't know the difference, but I just knew it felt so fun, like flying. And in sixth grade, I went on the Downeaster for a school field
Ooh.
trip at the Science Museum, like sleeping over. So that was my first time riding Amtrak. So then basically what happened was I've been growing up almost all my life in York, Maine. And as we all know, there's no public transit. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful town, but it's like there's only so much you can do there. And it's like when you want to spread your wings and you're looking for bigger horizon, it's like you want something greater. That's why Boston's a perfect city. It's huge. It has the T. There's so much you can do, the huge networks, so much more diversity, opportunities, and there's never a shortage of things to do. So when I got here, I was like before I came, I was so worried I'd have to drive and I would have to sign for driver's ed. And I was like, no, I was dreading it. But then I realized there's college here, Lesley University, and I heard really
Yes.
good things. It'd be perfect because I want to get into animation and art, and I know it's very accepting. It has a lot of neurodivergent and queer students and Also, the best part was that it's right near the tea, so I wouldn't have to drive. So basically, when I moved here, I started
Yes.
learning the tea, and I began the red line because that's what I took to it the most, and that's my main line.
Oh,
So
really?
yeah, when I first started, I got so confused between inbound and outbound, and I kept having to ask for help, like between the differences, and I'd often do the wrong direction, but it's like now, and it felt so far even going a few steps, and now it's like I know it at the top of my hand, it's like, or the back of my hand, and I just, oh my God, I'm such an expert. Like there's still a few commuter rail lines and several bus routes I want to take, but all in all, and like the subway, I've just mastered it all, and I've been taught so much by my rail friends. Like they've taught a lot about the MBTA and the different in trains, buses, models, manufacturers, and it's just I thank them so much for because now I can just info dump and show off my knowledge, and I'll literally be like, I'll be pointing to someone like, hey, that's a Pullman, that's a Bombardier, that's a
Yes.
CRRC, and they'll be like, well, I didn't know there were differences, but I can tell all the different ones.
Who would have thought the Thomas the Tank Engine was your first introduction to trains? But then again, if you're autistic, how could you not know Thomas the Tank Engine? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The guy is a living
It's awesome.
legend. The guy is a
Yeah.
living legend. And I don't mean the animated new series. I mean, I'm talking about that 1985 stop motion stuff
Yes, I know. I miss
that this
it.
young generation does not know anything about. They're looking at us like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I know, right?
It literally is such a shame, but it's really awesome that, like, A, the T is literally right close to your university, which is absolutely fantastic. And the fact that you know everything about the Authority Transit System is, or what you know about the MBTA, sorry, that's like a huge acronym, it's awesome.
So you can just call it the T, that's all right.
Okay. Well, what you know about the tea is absolutely sensational. And it's interesting too, just because where I live, there's literally like an Amtrak train that goes right by my apartment where I currently am at. Yeah. And it's
Oh,
funny too,
cool.
because sometimes if I'm lucky and I'm doing my regular 9 to 5 job, you can actually hear the sound of the train passing by, whether it's inward or outward. And I will have to agree, I am on that same position where as a young kid, I was like, okay, what's inward and what's outward? You don't
Yeah,
really
inbound and
know.
outbound. Yeah.
Exactly, you really don't. And it's funny, that's actually really cool that you've been able to sort of kind of grow up with trains as well. I didn't necessarily have that growing up, although we did have the Bay Area Railway Transit, which we call BART. For those of you that don't know, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and that was really our only way of getting around in terms of trains. Because, well, if you live in California, then you know that there's a lot of freeways and a lack of trains. So,
There needs to be more to make cards. Oh,
I know.
less
I
cars,
think we need to
less
speak to
things.
the state government about
Yeah,
that. So,
definitely.
what excites you about riding trains? Because obviously, like, you're all for it.
So many things. Well, or just it's like it's so magical. It's a fun experience. Like you don't have to worry about driving yourself, can let someone else do it for you. And the sights and sounds of it, like the clickety-clack rumbling on the tracks, the bounciness, the horns and
Ooh.
whistles. Just look at like the different locomotives and train cars. It's just really cool. They all have beautiful colors and designs. And I feel like it's like a work of art of itself. And like just the places you go and the people you meet on it just feels so magical. And you can't really get that community feeling in cars. Like you're cramped on trains, you can stand up and walk around. It feels like a journey itself. Like it's way more than just a way to get from point A to point B. It's an experience. And I think that's what really makes sets apart from just cars driving.
No traffic, no getting pulled over for speeding
Yeah, no
tickets.
parking. Parking in Boston. Oh my God, yuck. Don't get me started. It's way too expensive. I just know. Oh my God, I won't even have to worry about that. Sorry, I cut you there.
You don't have a driver's license, so you're just like, you know what? I'm not going to even waste my time trying to look for parking. I'm just going to take the T to where I
Yep,
need to
I
go.
don't have a driver's license. The T is my license. It's the key to boss. It's the gateway to all there is. And I think it's just incredible. Boston's so lucky to have such a fast public transit system. And yeah, even though it has delays and it's still being worked on, it is the oldest subway system in the United States. Of course, there's a lot of repairs to do. It still functions and it does a lot and goes a lot of places. And then some people like me, like grew up in places where there's no public transit at all. And I think Bostonians, some of them take it for granted, but they should appreciate it because some people never had anything like that and would only be able to drive or have someone drive them. Like they'd have to rely on that. But in
Yes.
Boston, you don't have to. You have choices. It's what's amazing. You can literally just, it's so cool that you can go for like, say, like Cambridge or Watertown all the way to downtown Boston or Revere. Like it's only Boston train ride away. That's what's keeping you between the two destinations. And once you do that, it's like you really go anywhere. You've unlocked a portal to experience and all Boston has to offer. And I think that makes it so magical.
I gotta say, you are beyond intellectual about all the trains, which is pretty amazing, or we like to call the T's. And it's pretty fascinating just because, as you mentioned, it's just a different way to get around, especially in a big city like Boston. And it's funny because there's really not as many trains out west as there is, in the East Coast where you are currently at. But what I love about your obsession with trains is that you just get so excited every time that you talk about it. And it's a part of you, and it literally is a good part of who you are. And the fact that you know all the different stops, the way that it goes inward, the way that it goes outward, like you mentioned, how you enjoy the bumpiness of when the train goes up and down. Because let's face it, sometimes the railroads are not always the most smoothest, but it's the most exciting part. You don't get that. And what I also love is you talk about the sense of community when you're on a train with maybe several people at a time, whereas with a car, you don't really get it that much. And yeah, you do get that on an airplane sometimes, but when you think about it, you're literally seated in a seat belt for 5 hours, let alone sometimes it could be more than that or less than that, but that's not the point. But the point is that what I love about you bringing up community is that it's a great way to bond, because as autistic people, sometimes we find it difficult to find our own little communities that we feel that we belong in. And what's amazing about special interests is that you've been able to find that special interest and that community both at the same time. And it seems that you've really been able to build such great friendships and even a relationship through that, which we're actually going to get to right now through a little show that you and I both had the honor of being a part of. So, Love on the Spectrum is a reality TV show that surrounds the lives of autistic individuals as they encounter love, dating, relationships, you name it. Now, after two successful seasons in Australia and a massive audience reaction around the world, Netflix and Northern Pictures decided to bring Love on the Spectrum to the United States. Now, did you get the chance to watch the first two Australian seasons and or the first two American seasons? And if so, what were your thoughts?
Yes, I did get to watch all of them. I was just always thinking, this is so cool, and I'm glad there's positive autistic representation. Like, finally, real autistic people, not neurotypicals, playing us. They get to tell our stories. And I was always like, I would love to be on that someday. And so many people said, you'd be so good on Love on the Spectrum, Harry. And then look what happened now.
Yes, it's pretty amazing of just how the stars have aligned. And it's funny too, just because when I first saw the first two Australian seasons, I was just like, it is about time. Because for so long, we've had dating shows, but none of them really revolve around the autistic experience. So when it was being brought to the US, it was extremely exciting. Although I never thought that, one, I was going to be on it. Two, let alone be on it as a supporting cast member for two consecutive seasons. And it's amazing of just how the US version has sort of exploded literally just in the snap of a fingers, just because I don't think really any of us that were on the show or are currently on the show realized of just how huge it would eventually become. Like everyone talks about it. Like even when we first started, the Northern Pictures crew were just looking at potential talent around the areas based, I guess, just on social media. And now we have thousands and thousands of auditions to get on the show. And it's not as easy as it looks to get on, but the fact that you were able to get on this third season, which is now, I believe, is nominated for 5 Emmys. Emmys? I mean, it's just crazy. And so season 3 of the show premiered this year back in April. And this time, the world got to meet you and your wonderful positive aura. What made you decide to audition for the third season of Love on the Spectrum?
So what I've always in the back of my mind hoped I get on someday. But what really, you know, sprouted this was one day I remember getting sent an Instagram post to a link to audition by one of my friends who's also in a, or who used to be in a musical about the tea. Yeah, there's actually like a parody called the MBTA musical, which is at the Rockwell Theater in Davis Square. It's a great show. You should see it if you haven't. I love it. Mm-hmm. So she sent me that post, and then I decided to email the producers to stop an interview. So we did just that. We did a Zoom. That went really well. Then a minute after I got off of it, they literally called back like a moment later, and they're like, "We really like what we see, and we want to continue to the next step." And the rest is history.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic of how they were just able to just sort of turn around and be like, "Okay, we like the aura. We like the vibe that she gets off. She's in." And that's actually really awesome, just because I think being brought on by a friend and by Northern Pictures and Netflix is one thing, but to actually go through the audition process, I've actually been kind of curious to know how it goes, because as we've mentioned earlier, the audition process now was a lot more complex. Everyone wants to try to get on that show. If you were autistic, it is like the one hot spot to try to get on TV. It's pretty incredible. So I think what you've mentioned of how fast they were able to turn it around is really impeccable. And the fact that they were able to call you back so quickly and say, "Hey, we really like your aura. We think you're a perfect fit for the show. You know, we want to bring you on." And as you mentioned, the rest is history. So this is not your first rodeo around dating, from what I had heard. And so my next question for you, Perry, is what was it like to have Netflix and Northern Pictures follow you around as you re-entered the world of dating?
I mean, it's really cool. I mean, it wasn't too nerve-wracking. I guess maybe it's just because I don't mind being the center of attention. So it's, I just, after a while, zone that, or I forget the cameras are there, or I know they're there, but I just try to, you know, talk and act normally as if they weren't.
I love that. I just love how you just say, "I love being the center of attention," just so subtly. I love being the center of attention. But that's actually a really good idea, because sometimes, like, when you see, like, a camera and it's following you around, you're just kind of like, are they going to capture everything? Like, what are they going to put in there? What they're not going to put out? You know, because that must have been on your mind a lot while you were shooting for the third season, especially since you watched the original Australian version, you watched the first two American seasons, and then so to sort of be in that predicament then as an actual cast member, I can imagine it must have been so surreal for you in that moment.
Yes, it's just amazing. I still cannot believe, like, where I am now. I just come so far, and oh my gosh, like being verified on Instagram, I got 206k followers. It's just like, oh my gosh,
and counting, and counting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's not forget and counting, because your follower count is only going to grow and grow and grow and grow. Let's be real for a second.
Oh, the beanstalk, Jack and the beanstalk. It'll be sky high. I'll reach outer space eventually.
Oh, I love that. So I actually wanted to let you know, and I did some statistics. So this year, you made Love on the Spectrum history by being the second queer woman on the show, following Journey Early from season 2. You publicly opened up about dating a man back in high school, but you also showed interest in dating women. What made you realize that you are a woman that can really go both ways?
Well, back then, I wasn't really sure, but it's like inside, I always had this like attraction to women and always wonder what it would be like to date a girl. And now I feel like I identify as lesbian because now I'm just really into girls. But before, I wasn't quite sure of myself. I was just finding it, you know, so it's been a journey. But now it's like that I was much more clear, and I just know myself so well. And I'm glad that most people accept and celebrate it with me,
yes,
though. There's still critics or people are like, what the heck, she's a lesbian, or she just
let them hate, let them hate.
That's like, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, that's their problem. It's not mine.
Absolutely.
I'm just who I am. And just like everyone, that's like, you just gotta ignore the haters, block them. That's why there's a block button. Let them exit the train, because they're just little people that have nothing better to do. Like on the show, I say, choo choo, please, like, pack your bags and exit the rear side of the train and exit my life. Like,
I love that. Just exit the train out of my life. I could not. I think one way ticket. Exactly. I think at this point, forget let the haters motivate. Just get off the hate train.
Exactly. You won't get anywhere good by being on. It's really not worth it. And there's always going to be someone trying to tear you down, or who yes. won't understand you. But, you know, just forget about them. Like, it's hard. Of course, it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard not to take things to heart. But it's like, you just can't let them win. You got to keep living your life. Be happy. Don't live it for anyone else but yourself. Because you're not happy, you're never going to feel fulfilled. But you just got to keep doing what your heart wants, you know, and all the people care about you will always be by your side. Your true friends and family will always support you no matter what.
And the cast members as well, because we've all known what you have gone through. First off, congratulations on coming out as a lesbian and the fact that you're doing it on this podcast. I am very touched.
Thank you. I have been out, but yes, I'm just reestablishing it. But some people still aren't like fully sure, but I know I have mentioned it in Pulse, and I've made like a parody of God Bless the USA, but God Bless the LGBTQIA plus my sister. We were at the WeHo Pride Parade. I'm like, and I'm proud to be a lesbian in the gay community with the rainbow flag. God bless the LGBTQIA.
All right. I'm liking the vocal chops. Vocal chops right there. You need to sing a little bit more. Let me just say that right now. The next time you're in LA and Abby throws some sort of karaoke party, your presence needs to be there. Just saying.
Yeah, I would love to.
Absolutely. Now, on this newly released third season, we saw you go on a date with a wonderful young woman named Tina. You ladies both hit it off extremely fast in terms of bonding over similar interests, not to mention similar qualities about you two. You both went on another date where you sealed your relationship with a passionate kiss. What did it feel like in that moment when you kissed Tina and when you realized that you're in love with her?
It's just really surreal. It's amazing. It just felt magical and so beautiful. It's so delicate at the same time. Like, it was just this really cool feeling that's hard to describe, but it just felt right, like natural. Like, it didn't feel like forced or like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It just felt like it was meant to be.
You saw fireworks.
Yep.
That's honestly, that's the best feeling in the world, when you realize that when you were able to kiss her and just have that sense of, oh my God, I am truly in love with this woman. It is the best feeling in the world. And as I hear, you guys just celebrated a year together. Am I getting that correct?
Yes, you are.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations. How does it feel that you guys have made it past that 1 year mark?
It's really amazing. I'm just so happy. It's like, yes, we have our differences and some things. We like advocate for different causes and have different hobbies, but then we have a lot that we share. And I think she definitely made me a better person. She like helps balance me. And she's the sweetest, hilarious, passionate, outspoken, and her giggle's just so infectious, and her smile lights up the room from a million miles away. Like, she's just the most adorable thing, and I love everything about her.
Gosh, I'm so happy for you too. I really genuinely am. Given the fact that I have been in a fully fledged committed relationship now for almost 4.5 years, and our relationship really actually took off when I shot my first season with Love on the Spectrum. I wanted other people to find that same partner that I found in my girlfriend. And Perry, you found her. You found her. And I just could not be more elated for you. And the fact you guys were able to share similar qualities, you guys were able to share so much in common. And then it sort of kind of displayed that in front of the world, which is awesome. And I can imagine that having to keep that a secret for the longest time was not easy. It was not easy at all in the slightest.
No, but I had to do it. So I tried to distract myself and just focusing on more like other things I love, like the tea, like I still do, but I just really kept doing the things I loved and posting about them. So yes, the time would pass it before I knew it, like I'd be able to post about Tina and like drop the big news. But yeah, it felt like it forever.
And now you have two T's in your life, the trains and Tina.
Exactly.
What are the odds?
Perfect. She's my tea princess. And she's also the Amtrak to my commuter rail because she's always wearing blue and I wear purple.
Oh.
You know, trains couple up. We're literally like, could be someday married couple. Like how different train engines, they can couple up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I actually never knew that. Who would have thought that the colors associated with trains and it's like the perfect match?
It is, I know, right? And the fact her name begins with the letter T in the way, like, or we can match energy. Like, you know, both get really excited when trains come by. We try to get them to blow a horn. She's like, what? And we have our T wands and, like, we both, like, pump them up and down to try to get the drivers to blow the horns, which works a lot of the time, and we both get so excited when they do it. Like, our reactions together, the best, and we stim. Like, somebody would just randomly say choo-choo or meow, or we'll sing songs.
You say meow?
Like, yeah, meow. Like, we'll just be really silly together in the most adorable way, and I just love that. She's willing to do that with me, even if we seem crazy. Like, we're just having fun and being ourselves, like, unapologetically autistic.
Yes.
And I love that.
There's nothing wrong with being crazy. It is being crazy sometimes is the best thing that you can be.
I know.
Just crazy about the tea. Let's be real.
Yep. Yep. Like, it's not like it's hurting anyone or doing anything bad. No. Just, you know, being so passionate about something that sets your soul on fire. Like, you got to find the thing that is worth waking up every day to, that's worth living for. Like,
yes,
something you just get excited about that keeps you going.
100%. I could not agree with you more on that. And having that special interest that really keeps you going, now on full display for 200,000 plus followers and counting. So the third season of Love on the Spectrum premiered to a massive audience reaction and was in the top 10 most watched Netflix television shows for several weeks around the world again. What was your reaction to the success of the third season of the show? I can honestly imagine you must have been so tickled.
Yeah, I'm so happy. And it's just like, oh my god, I can't believe it. Like, it's so popular. Like, every day it seems like almost like a day never goes by without like people coming up to me and saying, oh my god, we're such huge fans, and always asking for pictures. They're so sweet. Like, some are adorable. Like, you'll see everyone from like shy people who are like afraid to ask for a picture approach me, and they're like, is that right? Like, yeah, go ahead. I love that. And then ones who literally scream like, that show. And like, or they'll see like, my friend really loves you or Power. And then they wish they were there that they got a picture of me. It's like, they'll be so jealous. And some like will know me by name. Some will literally just say, like, you're from that show, you're famous, can I get a picture of you? And it's so adorable. And sometimes they'll see people, like, they'll look at me and they'll whisper to someone and then they'll gasp and they'll keep looking back at me and smiling. And I can tell, even if they aren't like brave enough to say hi, like, I can usually tell when they're fans, like, they'll be just so, oh my gosh, like, I can tell they'll focus on me and keep looking and smiling, like, they know.
Yes. And in the most random of places too, like when someone sees you, their jaw just goes.
Yes, yeah, it's the cutest thing, and I just find it so adorable and hilarious. Like, there's literally TikTok videos of people just freaking out, absolutely fangirling when they see me, or when I follow them on Instagram or TikTok or liked their comments or videos. And there's one that's really funny that me and Tina get a kick out of from the Boston Pride Parade. We walked in, like, there's maybe this
woman
talking about, with our friend, just casually talking about carrying a Narcan and why it's good and saves lives. And then all of a sudden, mid-sentence, I come through with Tina, and then she's like, it's good for when you see like a and saying like, I've always wanted to run into her on the tee, yes, and like saying, I gotta tell Sean, like, to her friends. It's like, oh my god, it just, it's like as if Taylor Swift followed them or someone huge. Like, that's how I'd react, like the way that they, the fact that people react that way to me, it's like, oh my god, I'm really that big of a deal? Like,
you are really a big deal, are you kidding me?
Like, yeah, guys, spread joy, but you really find me that inspiring, like I'm that special. It's like, you're so kind. Oh my god, I can't believe it. I can make that much difference in people's lives.
Yes, absolutely. But that's the beauty of the show, because literally over the course of the last three seasons, every single one of us gets recognized somewhere, whether it is a main cast member like yourself or like Abby, David, or Sabode, or Connor, or Madison, and I'm trying to remember, oh, and Kaylin and Steve, and every other main cast member that I'm trying to remember. And it's interesting, I mean, even supporting cast members, we kind of get our notices too, which is really, really, really shocking. I was flying from Chicago to Atlanta with my girlfriend one time, and I was getting her coffee. It was very early in the morning, and some random lady comes up to me, and she's like, you're Devin from Love on the Spectrum, who are you? And literally all I could say was, guilty, because literally I just had a refresher in my hand that I'm buying for my girlfriend. I'm like, this is probably not the most appropriate time to say hi, but thank you for at least watching the show. So I will say that nothing though compares to the fun fan interactions that you've had, and especially at Pride, since you've kind of been all over the place with Pride, because you were at Boston Pride and then you were at West Hollywood Pride. Mm-hmm. I have been to West Hollywood quite a few times just living here, but I've never really seen a Pride parade there, just even being an ally. But from what I heard and from what I've seen, it looked like you were having the time of your life over there.
I sure did. It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was picked to be the next gen icon. I also got to be like Chris Cooley, former football and NFL player, then another transgender actress, I'm trying to remember her name, like Mall something, and then Cara Delevingne, the famous like actress and model. Oh. It's just helpful to be in the same category among these like elite celebs. Like, me? You want me, Parry? Like, local girls, like, came from humble beginnings, and it's like now just propelled to stardom, and all the reactions are great. And me, Tina, my mom, my sister, and then her life coach, we got to ride on
yes.
A really cool float. It was shaped like a train with a rainbow, and I
oh,
kid you
my
not,
goodness.
The handles we held on to were silver tees. I feel like they did that on purpose.
Oh my goodness.
There's no way that was just a coincidence, was it?
Well, you have to remember, Parry, they watch the show. Every single different community out there watches Love on the Spectrum, believe it or not. So they obviously know you in and out. Be like, hey, we need to have these tees silver for Parry and Tina since they're going to be in town. I mean, come on, you know that. So for all of us that were on the show, whether a main cast member like yourself or a supporting cast member, there is no denying that this show has changed all of our lives in some shape or form. How has Lots changed your life, and how has the show affected you on a personal level?
Oh my gosh, it's just so many different ways. Like, well, definitely having all these new fans and followers, but also like my life is just, oh my god, it's just so busy. There's so many things. It's so EPO reaching out to me. It's like hard to get back to everyone, but I'm trying, and there's so many things I need to do in events. I'm like just so in demand, and way less free time though. I try to find some time to myself now and then in between things, but I'm just so booked and busy. But then also just really, oh my god, and like this role model that
yes.
people look up to and getting recognized, and just that I'm making a difference in people's lives, whether I inspired them to take the tea for a first time, get rid of the car, or even come out like as bi or lesbian. It's just so amazing, just the influence I have, like just by everything I do, my advocacy, that like people are just like, oh my god, you've inspired me, or you've changed my life. Like, that's the best part. I feel like the most wonderful thing that happens, aside from all, of course, all the glam and goodies and free PR, but really just the difference you make and making people's lives and knowing you're inspiring somebody, you're making them feel more confident. That's just the most rewarding thing ever, and inspiring and making a difference to so many.
As you already are, as you definitely are for sure. And it's interesting because what you brought up, I think is so important, is that a lot of people for the longest time have associated autism with just one particular community. And it's my community, which is straight white men. You know, people have associated for the longest time. And now what's been so nice for people to finally realize, oh, it's not just that community. It's all over. It's widespread. You know, you find it in different ethnicities. You find it in different cultures. You find it even in different genders, even in different sexuality. So it's important that autism is so represented in all the communities, not just the one. And I think what you're doing right now, and especially being a lesbian woman who's on the spectrum, it's so important because it's showing there's another different kind of autism that's wonderful, that's unique, that's beautiful, you know. And I think that's what is so special about representation matters, and you being a role model to the next generation, which I think is so incredibly important, and also to the autism population that is an absolute love of the tea just as much as you. But I don't think they could probably match your level, though, because you are a hardcore tea lover. You are a hardcore train lover. It is unmatched. It is unmatched. Now, as I mentioned earlier, your life has literally exploded over the past year. In addition to being a main cast member on season 3 of Love on the Spectrum, drumroll please. You also just earned your bachelor's degree from Lesley University. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was that like getting to earn your degree at such a busy time in your life?
Well, this is so crazy because, like, right around the time when, like, season 3 came out, and I could tell everyone the news. It's like, I still have a few weeks left of school to finish up, and my mom was very on top of me, like, don't get too distracted, finish strong, yeah. Do your homework. It was really hard. I was like, oh my God, I'm so distracted, but I still did it. I managed to reach the finish line. It's just so amazing now. It really shows you can do anything you set your mind to. It's like, there's just no limit. The possibilities are endless. The sky's like, oh my God, limits. Like, it's just amazing, really. Like, just wonderful things can happen. You work hard and you don't give up. Like, you really do anything you set your mind to. Like, don't ever let someone tell you can't just because it's hard or they don't think you can do it, because you can. If there's a will, there's a way. Like, if you want something bad enough, you can find a way to do it. And I've always just lived by that rule of thumb. Like, I've always been a go-getter, and I don't like to quit. Like, I don't want to give up.
No, never, ever, ever throw in the towel. That's the one thing that we always consistently say. One thing that I can say is that you didn't have senioritis. You had this little thing I like to call love on the spectrumritis, where that kind of takes over your life. But hey, you got your degree regardless of everything that was so busy in your life. Because obviously when the season premieres, your life just instantly becomes literally under a magnifying glass. Every cast member that was on the show, whether main, supporting, or regardless, your life is literally on focus. And now the question I have for you is, now that you've officially been on the show for season 3, you have your bachelor's degree from Lesley University, what does this next stage of your life look like for you?
Well, so I am currently interning at the MBTA summer internship. It'll definitely go till the end of August in the customer and employee experience department. So I get to work with the teams, like digital strategy, social media marketing, and see like how they do things behind the scenes. And I've even got to like overshadow or participate in different excursions or help create content for them, which is just so exciting. Wow. So sweet. It's like a family. Like, I feel like I've been besties with them for years. I just fit in and they accept me. Like, they just treat me so well, like one of them. Mm-hmm. And I just love how kind they are and generous to do this. Like, just everyone at the MBTA, I love you all so much. Like,
aww,
thank you. You're the family I've never realized I had before.
So, that is so special.
Thank you. That's really the big thing that's going on. And there are more things, like some things I can't tell. I can, mm-hmm. It's some things for reasons, you know, but there's also a lot of unknown. But I still know I definitely want to continue at the T and hopefully eventually get full-time job or part-time, like as a regular employee working for
Yes.
their social media and marketing. And I've also thought about trying like Amtrak, but right now the T and Keolis, they're the ones who have been like the most responsive to me, and
Yes.
they just accepted me, taking me under their wing as one of their own. So I'm sticking them, and I'll have to see what else comes down along the line. Keep doing my events, dating teen, and just making my own like
Yes.
art stuff, like my magical things, like my social media posts, my parrot, my princesses, my drawing, just everything that I keep doing, my animations. I continue that and travel more,
Yes.
go on all the trains in the world.
Yay.
That's a goal. It's on my bucket list. Like, I really want to go on sleeper trains across America
Ooh.
and once in other countries.
That is awesome. You definitely got to do the overnight trains. From what I've heard, those are absolutely beautiful. And that is awesome that you were able to get like your first internship out of college was with the MBTA. What are the odds? What are the odds? So my last question for you, Parry, is this. Now, you are an inspiration to so many people out there, and it is very clear that your kindness and your positive energy is beyond contagious. What would you like to say to all the people out there that are looking for love or looking to find happiness and acceptance within themselves?
I say just don't give up. There's always hope. Be yourself, be kind and respectful, but also like stay true to who you are. Like, don't give up your dreams and passions just because someone else doesn't share them. Like, just stay confidently and unapologetically you. Like, no matter
Yes.
what it is, whether you're autistic, neurotypical, neurodivergent, other ways, or in whether you like different, like me, like the tea, or you're passionate about like
Yes.
politics, disabilities, advocacy, nature, whatever it is you like, and that you care about, just stay true to that and really lean into that and enjoy your hobby and passions, advocate, make the world a better place, and stay true to who you are and just shine, as your confidence will always make you the most beautiful inside and out.
You truly are a role model for so many other autistic people out there, and especially coming from, a female who is also when they're girls, coming from another ethnicity, you really are an amazing role model. And I am so elated to see what this next chapter in your life holds because the sky's the limit for you, or should I say, the railway's the limit for you. Seeing just your aura and how it takes a TV show that can really uplift you to the masses. It's so inspiring, and I am excited to see where this next chapter in your life goes. And I could not be more elated for you that you and Tina have reached a 1 year mark. I'm excited for what is next for you. I know you can't say specific things. Trust me, I've signed those NDA forms before. It is not easy to keep. It is not easy to keep that a secret. But I am elated for you. You have represented yourself so well on the show, and the train's the limit, honestly. The T's the limit.
Endless
My.
possibilities.
Wait, what?
Endless possibilities.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Now you have to put up with my tea puns.
Hey, you know what? I will take puns any day. Puns are one of the greatest things in the world. Well, my thanks to the tea icon herself, Parry Kim, for this wonderful and delightful conversation. Feel free to take that train and come back on this podcast anytime.
Aww.
If you like what you heard on this episode and you want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future episodes, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I will see you next time right here on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.